This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
And the other thing about Josh Hart. How many I was just talking with Marco too. How many backdoor cuts did he allow? I mean, the whole he's had a miserable series. My goodness. The more I think about it, I'm just flabbergasted. This is a winning player. This is a guy who's done everything he could to help this team win. He does all the small stuff. We've raved about him all year long. They need someone to step up with scoring. He can shoot the three, and he's actually done that fairly well for him in the postseason, about 40%. But I forget which game it was, but they needed some scoring. He got 25 points. Obviously, always gets big rebounds. One of the more talented coast-to-coast players and finishing at the rim that way. Like, he just always seems to step in and fill the cracks of whatever you might need in that moment, that game. He has been awful in this series, and he was terrible in this game. And I know he's not the only one with turnovers, and I don't want to harp on him. But we were just talking about the backdoor cuts and the missed defensive assignments. He was bad at that. I know he wasn't the only one making turnovers, but he was the only one making the same mistake over and over again. Like those passes. And then, I got to be totally honest with you, I was getting annoyed with him because every time he made a bad pass and it was turned over, he was like giving like the player he was trying to pass to the look of like, what the hell was that? Like, what the hell was that? What were you doing? Some of the passes to Karl Anthony Towns, even if he catches it, what is he going to do with it? Like, even if you made some of those passes and you managed to fit it through that small window and thread the needle and make the pass, what were they going to do with it? Like, it was just, and they all seemed to lead to fast breaks. Like, it was just, he was awful in this game. Just awful. And honestly, having played with all of your teammates, like, don't try to pass it to Mitchell Robinson, or really, here's another guy too. And again, I'm not out to single out. OG Anunoby has stone hands. Like when Jalen Brunson was out with the ankle, he was able to step in and really be the guy who stepped up offensively. It wasn't Mikal Bridges. We were all hoping it was Mikal Bridges because of, you know, trading all those picks, and he was the difference in the team, and he was supposed to be a guy who was capable of that. And it ended up being OG Anunoby. And he stepped up, and we saw things offensively from him that we hadn't seen all year. Euro steps, getting to the rim, really nice moves. And even some throughout the series and in this game, we've seen step back threes. He had an enormous three. I think he was 1-for-7 in the game. The 1-3 was they were down 14 or something. And he hits that big three as the shot clock was running down 5 feet behind the line with someone right in his face. It was a huge three. But, like, he can't. He doesn't finish around the rim. More than that, he looks like he's unsure of himself around the rim. He doesn't know if he wants to dunk it, lay it in, finger roll it. Like he looks very confused when he leaves his feet to go towards the basket. And he just doesn't do it strongly enough where he's, even on some cases where, yeah, he was fouled and maybe the foul wasn't called, or even if it was, you still could finish. Nobody was wrapping you up and making sure your hands weren't, like, still get to the rim and catch a pass. But, I mean, Josh Hart and some of the passes he was throwing was just, like, it's, I know there was a lot of turnovers. Jalen Brunson, you know, dribbled one off his foot for a backcourt. I'm not happy about it, but it's a mistake. It happens. Standing on the line, double dribble from right. All of those are bad, but at least it wasn't the same mistake over. I felt like every time Josh Hart touched the ball, I was waiting for a bad pass. He has been dreadful in this series, and he was miserable in this game. And if we're going to get on Tibbs, And I know a lot of you are going to, as we take the calls at 888-808-1019, we always get on the head coaches. The one thing I'll say is I think Josh Hart had too many minutes in this game. Josh Hart played 36 minutes. Mitchell Robinson only played 19. Mitchell Robinson should have been on the floor a lot longer than Josh Hart was. If you were watching the play, you're watching his defensive ability, watching him get offensive rebounds. I know that I'm sure they played minutes together at the same time, but there's no reason why Mitchell Robinson played 19 and Josh Hart played 36. I know you don't want to run Mitchell Robinson into the ground. They actually said that on the broadcast. I know you don't, you know, he's a different kind of player. He's had the foot issue. You know, he's not used to playing as many minutes as Josh Hart is, so I don't know if I'm being fair or not, but watching the game, Mitchell Robinson was making a hell of a lot more positive impact than Josh Hart was. 888-808-1019. John in Babylon. What's up, John?
Yes, sir. I hear what you're saying, Mickey. But you got to adjust to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't anybody guarding Halliburton?
I mean, they were guarding him. They did step off him a little bit when he shot those threes from 100 feet behind the line, but
he was open the whole game.
Well, he left the one shot he was open. And I mean, listen, he was when Brunson scores, why don't they guard Brunson? Like, he's going to get some open shots, but I mean, they didn't play a great defensive game. I agree with you. But he had the
reason why we won really game was, 3 was yeah. Because of defense. We had no defense.
I agree. No, I mean, listen, the reason they won game 3 is because of defense. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you can't do that every game against they were able to do that one night against the Pacers. You can't expect. The Knicks aren't a good enough defensive team to hold the Pacers to 100 points. Like, the Pacers score 120 points. That's what they do. So I get it. That's how they won it in game 3. I agree. They should have been better defensively in this game, too. I get it. And I'm not saying the defense isn't the problem. The defense was part of the problem. But I mean, he was hitting shots from, you can't guard him from where he was shooting them. Like, he had a great, incredible night. Like, sometimes you got to tip your cap. But yeah, there was a couple of wide open threes. There always is. The Knicks had open threes too. At the end of the game, Deuce McBride had a wide open three. He missed it. Like, OG Anunoby had open threes. He missed them. They made them. The Knicks missed them.
And I guess we got to think about the big picture. Are we happy that we're here right now?
No, I was. Now I'm losing. No, I'm not happy. I mean, listen, is it going to be one of those things where in a month from now, 2 months from now, we could look back on it and say, hey, we did beat the Boston Celtics. That was pretty sweet. And we did get to the first Eastern Conference Finals since the year 2000. You know, that's a quarter of a century since the last time we were in this series. So, and to be fair, like, you know, the idea of it's the first year with this team. They're going to have to figure out how to play better. You know, they're going to really have to figure out how Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson can play at the same time and be impactful on each other's offensive games. And this was year one, and they added two new major starters to the team. They didn't have Mitchell Robinson with them half the year. You can make that case, and you could say, hey, look, they also, as I've pointed out a bunch, the trade for Karl Anthony Towns happened at the very end of the offseason. So Leon Rose and the front office of the Knicks didn't really have a lot of time to shape the entire roster around that. So as much as we all think, you know, oh, they should have played more Shamet, should have played, like, the bench sucks. Like, these guys aren't good. They're not. It doesn't mean that Tibbs couldn't use them better or figure out a way to use them in a positive way, but they're not good. So we could say, hey, they beat Boston, Eastern Conference Finals. They only had 1 year to gel. Mitchell Robinson was out the whole year. They're going to get more time together as they grow together. There's going to be multiple years of this. They're going to have more time, a full offseason, to try and build a complementary roster to the things they need, get more defensive-minded players, get more three-point shooters, get more guys that Tibbs can play more of and have a deeper rotation, and they'll be better for it next year. We could have that conversation in 2 months. Maybe we can. Right now, I'm pissed at what I just saw last night. And they were supposed to, I don't think, listen, the Indiana Pacers have played better than them. They have. So Like, let's be honest, even if they won game one, if you're going to play that game and say, well, the Knicks should have won game one, the Pacers had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of game number three. You could argue they should have won game number three. This could easily be 3-1 with the Pacers winning the last three games in a row. The Pacers have been the better team. I don't know if they are the better team, but they've been the better team. And they have more options. And they play better together. And they're more cohesive in the moments they need to be. And I do think there's a very strong talking point to the idea of the Knicks getting better next year and being better and more cohesive together and having another year together, and next postseason they could be even more dangerous. But who knows what the landscape of the NBA looks like then? Who knows what's going on? Who knows how good Boston is again? Yeah, try and get through that. Cleveland can regroup and be better. I have no idea. This was an opportunity to get back to their first NBA Finals since 1999 and win their first championship since 73. That was on the table. And I suppose it still is on some way. It's very difficult to see right now. But whenever you get to these moments, man, they're opportunities you can't pass up. Because this is the first time in 25 years they've been here. Who knows when they'll be back? Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
C-Mac, how you doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. And you brought up a lot in that monologue. One thing I'll touch on that I'm glad you brought up, I haven't heard a lot of other people bring it up, because I know it was kind of like a topic going in, was the Brunson-Halliburton debate. Yeah. One guy's look like the face of a franchise that's finals bound, and the others look like the furthest thing from it. And look, I'll give Brunson the crown he deserves and everything when it comes to, you know, the money cut he took, you know, going into the year, like the pay or the lack of, like, the
yeah, he could have waited. He could have waited for right. This year and taken a much bigger contract. Yes.
Yeah, but look at it. You know, you look at it this way. I've seen a lot of people compare Halliburton to Trae Young in terms of the Nick Villain arc and all that. You know, I've seen a resemblance to Trae Young and Jalen Brunson's game this series, and meanwhile, I've seen Tyrese Halliburton break records left and right each and every game, not the last game, but the first three games. And look, he immortalized himself with that game one shot tonight. I know it was kind of like an ESPN type stat, but he had like the first triple double ever with the no turnovers. Yep. And you could say that's kind of, you know, that's the kind of a whatever stat, but turnover is the one word you highlight tonight because it's the Absolutely. Reason they lost the game. And I called you after the game, one game, I said I wasn't going to kind of give them crap and say, you know, I'm not going to go out there and say they lost that game, and a lot of people were. Tonight, the Knicks lost this game more than the Pacers won it.
Yep.
And look, because they're going to shoot, you know, 80% or whatever every other night in Indiana I'm talking about. But when you got, what they say, is like 22-2 the turnover differential was, that's ridiculous, man. And I think it was the one play. I don't know if it was either two.
No, the turnover differential wasn't enough. Fast break points was 22-2. The turnovers, the Knicks had 17. The Pacers had 11, but it was the point differential. I think maybe that's what you're talking about. Off of the 17 turnovers led to 20 Indiana points. I don't remember exactly how many Knick points it led to, but it wasn't anywhere near 20.
And I'll say this one last thing, you know, when they were putting out that thing like the street signs or whatever the hell, which is, you know, that's going to look great in hindsight, you know, it's all about touching the money. I laughed when I saw the names DeLon Wright and Landry Shamet, and jokes on me that those would wind up being the two, really the only two players playing to their level in this series.
Yeah.
And it's incredible, man. And I think it, when we look back at the series, I mean, look, let's be real. It's going to take a miracle and a half just to win this series, so let's assume Indiana wins it. For conversation's sake, you know, when I look back at it, and I say a lot of people, once we beat Boston, people said, all right, now you got to beat Indiana or else the playoffs are a failure. I think a lot of people looked at that, you know, speaking on the fact that Indiana wasn't to the level of the Knicks, or not everybody, but you look at kind of us having home court and everything. And I'm looking at it more so considering the injuries last year has definitely played a part. But at what point do we look at last year, too, even that maybe it wasn't all entirely the fact that we were injured and undermanned? I mean, the fact they're putting up 130 points a game, maybe they've just been the better team all along. And
I hear you, Ross, and thank you for the call. I think they're better this year than they were last year. They're better this year than they were last year. The Pacers. The Knicks, haven't played well in the series. They haven't. They last year they took a 2-0 lead, and I firmly believe they would have been able to win that series if not for the injuries. This Pacers team is better. And down the stretch of the season, they really gelled and played very good basketball. They were talking about it the other night that, you know, this team, the broadcast was talking about it, this team had played as well as Boston and Cleveland down the stretch of the season. Right? They almost came up. The Knicks were in third place in the conference for almost a whole year up until the last couple games of the season, because the Pacers went on an unbelievable run. They're gelling at the right time. They just went into, I know Cleveland was dealing with injuries, but they went in and beat the number one team in the East all year long. Like, they're playing really well right now. And I don't know if I want to go all the way back to last year. I think the Knicks were a better team and they were beat by injuries. But yeah. And it wasn't so much that everyone thought the Knicks were far better than the Pacers. At least I don't think that's what I thought. I thought that the Knicks were capable of winning the series, and if they could beat the Boston Celtics and find a way to do that, then with home court advantage against an Indiana Pacers team that's talented and deep, but I don't think many people thought were as good as the Boston Celtics, that the Knicks could find a way to win this series. And now they're on death's door, and they've got to come with a big-time effort in game number 5. Now, look, the series isn't over. All right, I know it's 3-1. It's not 3-0. This has been done before. You win game 5 at Madison Square Garden. All the pressure's on the Pacers to end it in their building. You figure out a way to pull that one out, and suddenly it's back to game 7 with all the momentum. So the series isn't over. It's not. Tonight is not a funeral. Tonight is not the end of the New York Knicks. They will play tomorrow night. For a chance to take this series back to Indiana. And I, you know what, as crazy as I am, I expect them to do that. Game 6 is going to be extremely tough. If they do get through Game 5, Game 6 back to Indiana is going to be extremely tough. But they haven't played well. Like, that's the one thing that makes me feel a little bit better about all this. Like, they just haven't played well. If they play well, if they play their game, if Josh Hart doesn't play like his head's up as you know what, you know, maybe they can find a way to win tomorrow night and take the series back to a game 6 and see where it goes. But it's just been ugly. And what really bothers me is the start of that third quarter. You come right out and back-to-back ugly, lazy turnovers. That's what really bothers me. Chris in Farmingdale. What's up, Chris? Hello? Carlos and Clifton. What's up, Carlos?
Wow, that's a great one to follow there. I'm just from the onset, you thought Indiana was down 2-1.
Yeah.
With just the energy they played from the onset.
Yep.
We allowed them 50 points in the paint. Are you kidding me? 50 points in the paint? Like our defense, I don't even know. Like, they had a lot of open layups, a lot of corner threes uncontested. I know you already harped on the Josh Hart, some of the turnovers. I was at work. I almost threw my laptop off the desk.
Yeah.
Like, you just throwing the ball away.
Yeah.
Now they beat us in, like the key three stats. How did they have 29 assists to our 17? I mean, like, they wanted it more. You have to... You tip your cap to them. I'm a big-time Knicks fan, but there was no hustle, no fight in us tonight at all.
Yeah. The Knicks did win the rebounding battle, which is one of those telling stats as well. And dominated the offensive rebound battle, 13-5. It wasn't so much the hustle in life necessarily. I don't know. Because they did come out and manage to hang with them. Like, they came out and scored 43 points in the first quarter. Unacceptable. Knicks did score 35. They just got to find easier offense. Like, that's what, because a lot of it leads, the poor possessions lead to fast break points for the, like, a better offense will limit the Pacers' offense and help your defense a little bit. And it's not that I'm not blaming the defense. It's just that it's an easy thing to say the defense sucked. I still think the offense sucked. I know they scored 121, but like the offense was at the foul line. And yeah, the Pacers couldn't, you know, were giving up easy looks too. They're not a great defensive team. Too many open shots, but Haliburton had a great game, man. This is why game number one sucks, but like you got to find a way to bring better effort, and you got to find a way to close the quarters better, and you got to find a way to come out in the third quarter and play much better than they played, and the turnovers were just atrocious.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 229. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Off of a lousy Nick loss. Why do they do this to us? You know, Ross was talking about it, like, yeah, look, you have to be fair. You have to call it like you see it. The Pacers have been the better team in this series. After game one, we all felt like, obviously in that game, the Knicks were the better team, and they blew it. But since then, even the game the Knicks won, right, Carl Anthony Towns played Superman at the end of the game. Their shots went a little bit cold at the end. Maybe the rotation Tibbs threw out there was a little bit of a wrench in the works for the Pacers, and they just weren't expecting it. But other than that, I mean, and in this entire game, the Pacers have been the better team. Like, it's not been stolen from us. It's not because of the refs. And look, I get it too. That's going to be a story. There was that sequence there where it felt like there was some real ticky-tack fouls against the Knicks for the Pacers. And it jumped up in the beginning of the fourth quarter. And it jumped up the Knicks into the bonus very early on in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, went down the court. And it looks like, obviously, OG Anunoby gets hit in the head trying to go up to, you know, lay one in. And clearly that was a sequence where it felt like the officiating was completely one-sided. And I'm not saying that wasn't the case, because it felt like that to me as I'm watching it. There was some really ticky-tack fouls, right? There's a ticky-tack foul at the end of the half with 1.1 seconds left. I feel like they're bailing out the Knicks, bailing out the Pacers with 1.1 seconds left. And then those calls in the fourth quarter. I mean, you got Mathurin, right? He came in and really impacted the game immensely. He, you know, he got to the foul line 11 times, and he played 12 minutes and shot 11 free throws and scored 20 points. He came in and really made an impact on the game. But like, there was one where he's completely out of control, driving to the basket and falls. And like, Hart lands on him, and they call a foul on Hart. It was a terrible call. There was a couple of those, but it's not why the Knicks lost. Like, we can make it about that if you'd like. It's not why they lost. They lost because they were terrible defensively. They lost because they didn't have any answers offensively. They lost because they turned the ball over 17 times. They lost because they allowed 22 fast break points and only scored two. They They got beat in every which way. Their effort wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough to start the third quarter in particular for me. And, I mean, we could talk about the fouls. We could talk about Tibbs. Like, let's be honest. Let's have a conversation about Tibbs. He had a very solid game number three where he made the impact and the change and went out of his norms and maybe surprised the Pacers. And clearly, you know, Karl Anthony Towns had a lot to do with it, too. I thought he had a great series against Boston. I think most of us feel that way. In this series against Rick Carlisle, he hasn't had a great series. Listen, you're down 3-1. Nobody's had a great series. You blew a 14-point lead with 2.5 minutes left. Nobody's had a good series. But I'm just watching the game, right? And I'll be the, like, I don't know exactly what they could have done. Like, I watched the game, and I'm just trying to find, like, think to myself, like, is it really that Shamet and Wright should be on the court right now? Is that the problem with what's going on? Is the problem playing the guys that they've played all year long to get them the back-to-back 50-win seasons? Like, is that the issue? Should Brunson be on the bench because of what happened in the fourth quarter in game number three? Should Deuce McBride be in there instead of Karl Anthony Towns or instead of, you know, OG Anunoby? Is that the real reason the Knicks are losing this game? That the bench, the much maligned bench, the bench that we all know isn't very good? Is that why they're losing this game? Because the matchups dictate playing your bench in the key moments of the game? Like, I refuse to believe that. I just think they played terribly. I think, you know, Josh Hart was awful. I think Jalen Brunson did not have a good game. Other than, you know, early on the offense in the first quarter, right? What, he scored 12 or 13 points in the first quarter, keeping up with that Pacers run. He kept them in the game with his offense, hit a couple of big threes, you know, does what he does and gets to the basket. He scored 31 points, but 11 are free throws. And he scored 2 points in the fourth quarter, and he had 3 killer turnovers. And is a minus 16 in the game. And was a minus in the game the other night as well. Like, Brunson hasn't played well. If you want to just get into it, Halliburton has been the better player in this series. And he certainly was the better player last night. Dominated the game. Got anything he wanted. Brunson has to work real hard to get what he wants. And he hasn't always got it. Last night, Halliburton got whatever he wanted. So we could blame the coach, and you can call me up at 888-808-1019 and give me all the different reasons why Tibbs was lost in this game. And you might even make some valid points. But you're going to have a real tough time convincing me that this Nick team could have won the game if Tibbs only did this or if Tibbs only did that. I'm going to have a real tough time with it. You could say that in game number one because literally any one thing goes different. The Knicks win that game. They were losing this game. Plain and simple. The Pacers were playing better. They were losing this game. There was nothing that was going to happen. I know they got it to 6. I know there was different way. I know, listen, I wanted Josh Hart off the floor with the way he was playing. You're going to have a tough time convincing me if Tibbs only did this, the Knicks would have won the game. They got beat. Plain and simple. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Glenn in Manhattan. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
All right. I watched the games from the beginning of the season to playoffs and the Knicks. Right now, right,
mm-hmm.
Knicks is going through his coaching ability. He's not having no – you say they're playing like what? Crazy, horrific, and they don't have no continuity?
Yeah.
The reason why they don't have the continuity because they don't have no set offenses plan. If you're gonna have Big Cat or Anthony Towns, play off of him, right? If you're gonna play off of him, you gotta play off of him. Put him in the paint or put him up top, but you gotta play off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Joker could do the same thing when the Joker come down court to Denver, he goes to him, right? He's the go-to guy first. When they had Shaq in L.A., they go to Shaq first, and Kobe was second. They don't have that continuity on the Knicks. They're just playing sporadically. And they know that Cat is the guy, he can get the ball in the paint.
He got They did get him. First of all, that's exactly what they did in the fourth quarter of game number three. That's exactly. Right. He didn't get the ball in the paint in this game. They didn't do that for him. He didn't get the ball in the paint. He didn't get offensive fouls called against him trying to get the ball in the paint. They were trying to get him the ball in the paint. You can't do it every possession. You want them to do it every possession?
No, he had plenty.
You make it sound like he never touched the ball.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, listen, you have a set offense. When you got a, for example, we know Shaq, this is Shaq, but say it to the Kobe.
He's not Shaq.
I'm not saying that. You listen, you're not Kareem neither. But the point I'm making is that you're not Magic Johnson neither. But the point I'm making is you got to have some kind of continuity go to on a daily, on a regular game. So if Tom's going to be your number one guy on offense, then you got to go to him. If it's going to be Brunson, they're going to double team him. They're trapping him. Most teams play for the trap. So you got to give up the ball. You got to get off the ball. You need him on the floor. Put him as a two guard. Let another person play the point. And put the cat down in the paint. Let him be the first option. Then Brunson's the second option on offense.
Yeah, but they've done that. He has been the first option a lot. I mean, that's just... You can't just run the game through them. And it's not that easy to make, the reason they don't throw the ball down to Cat, they have. You think if they would have just thrown the ball to Karl Anthony Towns down low for every possession, they would have won the game. And he was having his way with them. He went to the basket a bunch. Like, they played what he scores 24 points in this game. He's got to take more threes. Because he's a good free throw, a three-point shooter. But it's real easy to just say, that's the set you got to run. What are the sets? Who's their go-to guy? Where are the set plays for Halliburton? Halliburton's dribbling the ball up. They pass it around, look for an open shot, and shoot it.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 2:45, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Now, I mean, I guess I understand what the last caller is trying to say. Look, you want some offensive sets. You want to feel like you have a plan offensively, of course. But, again, Karl Anthony Towns was calling for the ball. Karl Anthony Towns got the ball a lot. Karl Anthony Towns, was battling down low the entire game. He was getting offensive foul calls against him. He was getting rebounds down there, you can't just throw it down to him every play. He's not Shaq. This isn't Wilt Chamberlain. And he was dominant. They were having trouble guarding him, and he was having his, a fair share with it. But off of his makes in particular, because his makes end up with him halfway into the seats. If you notice, he goes to the basket, he gets fouled, he's laying on the floor, and it leads to numbers the other way. That's part of the issue, too. Too many times off makes, the Pacers are running and the Knicks were terrible in transition defense. It's been killing them. 22-2. They were 20 points better in fast break points. 20 points better. A lot of those are turnovers. A lot of those are just poor defense getting back and the idea that Karl-Anthony Towns is a lumbering kind of guy who's slow getting back and they have numbers. And especially if he's going to the basket, even if off of make, they're able to push it. King George in the Bronx. What's up, George?
Hello, the Mac who's ready to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And if it ain't rough and tough, it ain't you. And I got a simple solution to all this because from the beginning, it seemed like the Pacers wanted to, and I was wearing my Mel Daniels jersey, by the way. It seemed like the Pacers want to win more than the Knicks. It's that little,
yeah.
You could almost tell when a team wants it more than the other.
Yeah, I mean, it felt that way. It certainly felt that way, especially in the third quarter, the beginning of the third quarter, it felt that way. And the Knicks have been the team that's come out and played like that in a lot of spots where they needed it, and last night they did not, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you keep doing the great job you're doing, and live long and prosper.
Thank you very much. Yeah, the effort just wasn't there. Especially that start of the third quarter. They just did not come out with the intensity that they needed to start the game or start the half or close out the quarters. Oh, my God. Every single quarter, the Pacers would go on a run. Every single one. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Man, that guy just invoked the name of Mel Daniels. That was like rubbing salt in the wound, man. I got to tell you. But, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
When you look, it was 87-82. Here's what's frustrating, okay? You know, the Knicks, I think, plus six or seven them at the foul line. It was a wash for the threes. No, they made more. The Knicks out-rebounded them. They out-offensive rebounded them, okay? But the Knicks did not make shots. Looking at a note, what was he, 1-for-7 from three?
Yep.
Well, when you're in a game like this that's hanging in the balance, okay,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're not going to make your shots, and the Knicks didn't, I mean, I think that's kind of what it comes down to. And that has, I'm not sure how much the coaching, how much that comes down to. When you got a guy, okay, if you want to say Towns should have got the ball more because Anunoby couldn't throw the ball in the ocean from three tonight, that's a valid, you know, that's maybe a valid statement. But again, you know, what does the coach have to do with that?
Well, no, like, I mean, listen, he could determine how, like, I was on him in the series in Detroit because I thought he didn't get Karl-Anthony Towns the ball enough. I haven't felt that way in this series. I felt like Karl-Anthony Towns has got the ball a lot in this series.
I'm saying it hypothetically. You know, when you get to this point, okay, unless it's a really like something that sticks out, players play. Look, it's very interesting. Okay, it's very interesting. It's like. It's like you're blaming somebody. I always feel this way with Cashman. Who are you going to blame because you got to the World Series? You know,
yeah.
It's like turning the table.
Yeah, but you got to. Yeah, but now they're here. They, you know, we got to. We're
right. I'm not.
They
got to
win the game. You know.
Right. Right. And my point, and all I'm saying is, when you look, you know, the Knicks had more turnovers. It's like. The line between winning and losing, and what you said about the fast break points. I mean, you know, I don't know if they wanted it more, but they certainly were way more opportunistic.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And the difference with the Cashman thing is I get Yankee fans telling me that he's atrocious and that the franchise is disgusting and I should be ashamed of myself for not hating them or thinking they are a bunch of buffoons. That doesn't mean I'm not pissed off or have look for people to blame when they lose the World Series. It's just the next year when you say this franchise is an embarrassment, I go, an embarrassment? They were just in the World Series. That's the difference. If someone calls me next year and says the Knicks are, you know, an embarrassment of a franchise, I'd be like, no, they used to be. Now they're not. Now they're a damn good team. We're just in the Eastern Conference Finals. But that doesn't mean while we're going through it, I'm not pissed off about the opportunity that they're blowing. Because right now they're blowing an opportunity. They have to go win a championship. And there are people to blame. Namely, them. Specifically, all of them. So I'm not looking for people. It's not like, oh, how, man, you got some nerve looking for someone to blame. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Enjoy it. In next month, maybe I will. And if someone calls me next year and says, oh, my God, Leon Rose and Tibbs are morons, how could you support them coming back? This team's a joke. I'd be like, what do you mean? They're in the Eastern Conference Finals. They got to figure out a way to get better. And that's what we hear about the Yankees, that I should be embarrassed about them. That they're a joke who haven't won the championship since 2009, and it's embarrassing, and they're a disgusting franchise. We should be ashamed to, you know, wear their hats and jerseys. Like, that's where I go, okay, well, you're an idiot. Doesn't mean that we can't be pissed about how they played in the World Series, because I'm still pissed about it. Omar in the Bronx. What's up, Omar?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Not happy about this Knicks game.
You know,
I mean, obviously, when I'm looking at the box score, I mean, defensively, I mean, Cat, if I get 25 and 12 from Cat, that's all I need from him. And not to get in foul trouble. So I'm not, there's no argument there with that. I mean, defensively is where we lose that game.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at that box score and you see Halliburton has a 30-point triple-double, I mean, and Siakam has 30 points. I mean, how do you win that game? You're not going to beat them in a track meet.
No, I know. But I mean, listen, you also got to just say they played better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I mean, they played better. Like, some of the shots that he makes are unguardable. Same thing, we talk about it with Brunson. Like, he scored 40 points against the Pistons. Do you think the Pistons played bad defense? Because I don't. I think Brunson's just a great player. And Halliburton is a great player and played like that last night.
We got to stop everybody. We got to stop all. You can't have everybody else scoring 20 points, you know? We're not going to beat them in the track meet.
No.
So defensively is where we're – it's unacceptable. A game like this, you got to show up defensively. I mean, that's where we got to hang our hat every single game.
Yeah, but they're not a team that hangs their hat on defense. They're just not. They haven't been all year. Like, I mean, it's I don't disagree that the defense – obviously, you gave up 130 points. The defense is the main issue, but it's not just the defense. It's a lot of the sloppy play. I mean, that leads to a lot of points, 22 fast break points. But like they're having a real tough time guarding Siakam. He had a miserable game one. Since then he's, you know, and wasn't great in game three. Games two and four, he's been dominant. He scored 30 points in this game last night. Shooting over 50% from the field, 3 of 4 from three-point line. He killed them in this game. Halliburton, 32 points. I mean, they shot 40% from three. The Knicks actually shot better from three. They shot 50% from the floor. But a lot of it is the sloppy play, the turnovers. It's not just entirely the defense. A lot of it's defense, and Hart allows backdoor cuts, and like they didn't play well defensively, I guess, you know. But again, it's just I expect this from the Pacers. You know that there's going to be games where you have to keep up with them. Game one went just like this. Game one went just like this. And they were up 17 points in the fourth quarter. They're capable of that kind of performance. They did not give it last night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.